둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Can you hear me through here?
Consequence Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here and checking out the series. Please do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. In fact, it's three a week, a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones at iTunes and Apple Podcast, at Spotify and Podchaser, Red Circle and Audible, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Cave Town. Going to be talking with Robin Skinner about their fifth album, Worm Food. We're going to get into making the video for Frog and having total creative control, the benefits of announcing the record before it was even finished, and the album's title and its relations to death and life cycles. We're also going to discuss working with Biba Doobie and Orla Gartland for two versions of the same song, the continuing relationship with Chloe Moriondo, and covering Teenage Dirtbag before it was a TikTok trend. All that and more. We're talking Worm Food. It's Kyle Meredith with Cave Town.
Hello. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. I've become such a big fan over this last couple of years and everything, and this new record, it's outstanding. So just the compliments there. You've really outdone yourself on this one.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind of you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. I just finished watching the new video for Frog, which was so much fun. And I'm guessing you probably spent the majority of a day very wet from what it looks like.
Yes.
What was the idea behind this one?
This was actually, I'm really excited about this video. It's actually the first video that I've directed with like a full crew and like a proper like budget. I've done lots of video stuff in the past, more like in my earlier childhood. I used to want to be a director, and so I would make like stories with my friends. And film and edit and everything. And then I guess since I started properly doing music like full time, I stopped doing that. And obviously because I was busy doing music, and then more recently I decided I wanted to try again, and I made a music video for one of my songs, Idea of Her, just with me and two friends, and it was very like DIY, and it turned out great, and I was really proud of it. And it kind of reminded me that it's like really important to me what the visuals look like, and having that control over that can be really great, especially if you maybe don't mesh as well with the director that you're working with. Sometimes you can find a director that really gets you and really has the same vision as you, but that's always like anxiety inducing for me, because sometimes, you know, you'll have something in mind and then you get like a cut back and you're like, oh, this isn't quite, like there's like little things that aren't quite right, but I don't know how to explain it without just doing it myself. And then I'm like, well, if I can just do it myself, then I'll just do it myself. And I had a really vivid idea for the frog video. I actually drew pictures of like the swamp setting, like the dry set, and then the wet, rainy set. And with a few tweaks, like the crew was able to replicate it like really well. It looks incredible. And I'm so happy with how it looks. And I pretty much got all the shots that I even had in my head. I had very specific shots in mind. It was hard to work with the real frogs. I didn't quite get exactly what I thought of getting with the frogs, but they seemed to be doing their whatever. Yeah, they were doing their frog thing. It was kind of hard to direct them necessarily, but it was so much fun. And my band was such good sports. I could tell that certain members of the band were a little miserable by the end of it in the wet, but they didn't complain, and they did an amazing job. And yeah, my shoes from the episode are still in a bag. I've yet to touch them. I'm a little scared too. I don't know what might have grown in them.
Right.
So yeah, we'll see what that's looking like, because I do like those shoes. But yeah, it was overall just really fun. I edited the video as well, so I was able to kind of put everything in place like to match what was in my head. And I got to go to the color grade and everything looked incredible. And I just felt like I haven't had that much control over a music video before with that kind of like production around it. And so I had a really good time, and I'm hopefully going to be able to do that for lots more videos in the future too.
You know, in somewhere in the frog world, there is headlines being printed on little frog newspapers right now that says Cave Town says frogs don't take direction well. And that's what you're going to have to live.
No. No, it's okay. I respect them and their autonomy. It's fine.
Calling them out. It's really fun. And you're right, because, you know, I don't know if it's like you, but for me, you know, as fans, the videos, they're fun, but they sort of have this, you know, mythical representation that we put in our head, like this is who this person is. So if it's something you're not happy with, like that's also something that you would have to live with, as people taking that as part of you, for, you know, so smart decision and well done.
Thank you. Yeah, especially when it's a song. I mean, I care about all my songs, but to different degrees. There's like some songs that are really important to me that I'm really especially proud of, and Frog is definitely one that I felt especially proud of. And so it would suck to have a video for it that I don't feel as proud of.
Well, I just reading that you literally have just finished this album too, putting the finishing touches on it, which is crazy, because and it, maybe that's the norm these days, you know, because there is this longer lead time than it used to have, you know, where you start putting out the singles and announce the record even before it's done. I don't know how many people do that, but does that does having pieces of it out there and hearing that sort of instant feedback, do you find that that had any influence on the final stages as you finish the record?
I think it not in terms of necessarily like the material, but I think that announcing the record before it was even done was kind of a tactic to get me to finish it on time by my management, because they have grown to understand that can be hard for me to meet deadlines. And so kind of having that pressure of like, okay, the whole world is expecting this on this date, so if I don't get it done by this day, it's not gonna happen. And so that worked well, I think. But yeah, I did that. I think, I don't know how normal that is, but yeah, I think that definitely helped to kind of already have a deadline that wasn't just internal. It was like everyone knew that's when it's out. And I had to meet that, because I hate letting people down. I hate letting like the world down. So I had to do it. Yeah.
Well, we're getting into it. Like, what are the bigger stories you wanted to tell this time around? Like, I couldn't help but, like, I've heard where how the title fits into the record, but when I first saw it, like, my first thought was worm food. That evokes the imagery of death, which isn't exactly where that comes from. But what were these stories that you wanted?
Yeah, I usually come up with titles kind of late in the process. I can't really, like, stick to a theme for a whole like year or however long an album takes to write, so it kind of like forms on its own nearer the end of the whole writing process. And sometimes like I'm particularly drawn to a particular song in the album or a particular lyric that just the words feel cool. And in the same way, like, people ask me a lot like what Cave Town means as a name, and I'm like, it sounded cool, and worm food sounds cool to me. And it's, I think, is still my favorite from the album. Yeah, there's one song that's called Worm Food, and so that's why I decided to name the whole album that. And I feel like that, yeah, it intentionally does tie into like death, like you getting eaten by worms and your body returning to the earth, which I kind of can be, maybe it's dark, but I kind of, is kind of a comforting like realization for me, that like the idea of your body returning to the earth, like no matter like what you've done in your life, that's like ultimately where everyone's body ends up. And it feels like a positive to me to kind of feed the next generation of worms or whatever. And yeah, it feels like no matter whoever you are, no matter what you've done in your life, you have a purpose at the end of it to like feed the earth. And so yeah, I just really like those words, and they kind of tie into the vibe of the album that I was going for, just kind of dark and moody. And I feel like, yeah, it just sounded cool as well. Yeah,
built on that cycle.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back right after this.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska. And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8. On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music. There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Cave Town.
And then, you know, I also want to hit on the previous single with 1994, because that's such a cool track. And just hearing, you know, how you talked about, you know, what the lyrics have meant in that one. But, you know, when you title it with a year, I also wondered, just beyond the story that you're wanting to tell, like, did you want to play into that musically? Did, like, the music that you end up creating for this song, did what did you want to make that sort of emblematic of that era as well?
Yeah, I think it kind of subconsciously kind of like became that. I think I remember with 1994, I started writing it in a kind of different style and I wasn't feeling it. And then when I revisited it and tried to work on it some more, it started feeling right to like sound kind of like early 2000s, like pop punk-ish. And honestly, it's called 1994 because that's what rhymed in the song. Just that, like, four rhymes with whatever line came before it. Yeah, it's not just an entirely random date. Like, it was, I saw it article recently that was like, I forget which exact article, I'm sorry, but it was like, this song references 1984, a year Skinner was not even alive yet, which I found was funny. And seems a little like, oh, I was born in the wrong generation kind of vibe, but that's not what I'm going for. I definitely was like, it's a time before I was born that I kind of imagine, like, that I don't want to put my parents on blast, but that they were in a happier place. And yeah, there's some part of me that kind of like wishes I could have seen that and been around for that. And because I've seen like pictures of them at that time, and they seem happy, and kind of a nostalgia for a time that I wasn't even alive for.
Isn't that funny how that happens?
Yeah.
Like there are, I mean, I think we all do that to a certain degree, have those eras that we're nostalgic for that we weren't there. There are certain songs that will do that to me, like a Whiter Shade of Pale from the 60s. Like when that comes on, it's like, oh, I was there, but I wasn't there. I wasn't even close to being there. You know, it's kind of weird how that, but I can say, and not to take away the story of your parents, but 1994 was a really good year musically. It was a coming of age year for me musically. So I love that relation anyway that you put out there.
Yeah.
I'll also hit on the other one real quick too, because they a bit out with Fall in Love with a Girl, which now has the two versions, one with Beba Doobie on there and Orla Cartland. I adore both of their artistry and songs. Such a big fan of both. Did you find that having different duet partners in that sense, did that give the opportunity for these songs to say anything different at all?
Yeah, I mean, when me and B originally wrote it, we worked together on that verse that she sung, and it was kind of from the girl's perspective, rather than me singing about these girls that I know in my life. And it was kind of like almost using her voice to sing for these characters in the story that the song tells. And so I was like interested to see what Orla could do without that kind of context of the girls that the story is actually about. And yeah, it was great to kind of almost have her tell her own story through it, because I felt almost strange about the song, because I was kind of writing about this like queer realization experience, but secondhandedly. It wasn't my experience, but it was something that a friend of mine was going through, and I've seen a lot of people kind of relate to that experience of like realizing what you actually need in a relationship and who you're actually genuinely attracted to. And so yeah, so kind of getting an outsider's like story told through their verses was cool to do, and I feel like that's going to reach more people as well.
I really like listening to both of them for, I guess, different reasons. That doesn't always happen just when you're like, oh, here's the acoustic version, you know, whatever, but you know, but they really do offer something special. And you've got such a great knack of you know, the guests, the people that you collaborate with. I mean, Chloe Moriando on here, which, you know, it seems like that relationship goes back fur. You did Slacker, and now she's done Gray Space and Teenage Dirtbag. And like, what, why is that relationship for you works so well?
Yeah, dude, I love Chloe so much. She's the coolest. Yeah, we've been friends for a good while now. It was actually really interesting. One of my friends sent me a video of her doing a cover of one of my songs like years ago. And I was like, wow, your voice is amazing. You're so cool. And I love this. And like through that simple DM that my friend sent me, she ended up working with my manager. And so we now have the same manager, and we've done a lot of work together. Like I helped produce her first album that she put out, and I've been lucky enough to like tour with her since then. And the whole time she's such a unique person. I don't think I've ever met someone quite like her. She's so full of life, and even just the way that she's like come into her own identity and like her self-expression, I'm just like, the fact that I've known her since she was just doing little ukulele covers, I can kind of like relate to that with her, in that that's kind of where I started as well, doing ukulele and guitar covers on YouTube. And so we can kind of relate to like how cringe that is for us, and how that can be, that's something that we've both tried really hard to kind of break away from and find our own like musical identity and find our own way to feel cool. Because yeah, I feel like a lot of people are like, oh, this is just a, there's a lot of people who still kind of tie us both to that ukulele YouTuber identity, which is definitely something that is cool for a while, but you know, it's nice to like find yourself and be like, no, look, I have a big band and I'm cool now. And for Chloe, it's like, yeah, I'm like rocking in this new album. And yeah, just being there to watch her grow and watch her like find her own style, and it's been really cool. And she's still so young. I'm just like so proud of her, and I'm so glad that I've been a part of it and I've been able to kind of help. I almost feel like protective of her in a way. I kind of see her like a younger sibling, and I've been there to kind of, I've been able to, you know, relate to her experiences as she starts touring and goes through lots of things that I did. And I just feel really lucky to be able to be someone that's there to listen to her and like help her through things like that. So yeah, she's mad cool. I love her so much.
It's interesting. I think I read that this year is the 10th anniversary of you starting your YouTube page, the 10th anniversary, next year being the first song, because people keep track of that stuff.
Yeah.
So happy anniversary.
Thank you. Yeah. It doesn't, that feels mad. I feel like I haven't even been alive that long. It doesn't make sense to me.
I mentioned the teenage dirtbag thing there, and I was trying to think, because it's obviously become a trend in the past couple of months, like a TikTok trend and all that stuff. Like you were far ahead of that. Like you heard that way ahead of whatever was happening now. I don't know if that done on you or whatever, but it's great. You know, it's a fun song.
Yeah. I'm not, I guess I'm not super in the loop with TikTok trends. Unless it's my trend that people tell me about, I kind of stay as far away as I can from TikTok. It scares me a little bit, but whatever any song that I cover, it's just because I found it and it's been stuck in my head, and I feel inspired by it, and I want to kind of put my own twist on it. And yeah, that's a fun song. Like, it's fun to sing, so I had to do it.
Not one of those that I think, you know, 20 years ago that I would have thought, oh yeah, this is going to come back. This is going to be a classic. Like it was almost like a novelty song at the moment, you know, and it's just had this amazing life. I love it. I absolutely do. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
No shots fired on that one. but with this record, I love everything that you're doing with Worm Food, and it's brilliant. And I know it's not the only thing. Are you still doing the clothing line? Is that still part of what you're up to?
Not the clothing line, but we're kind of, I'm focusing like that energy more into just like the Cave Town merch and trying to do some more interesting things with that. But yeah, for now the clothing line is asleep.
Well, yeah. It's cool stuff. It's just, you know, when you're a fan, it's cool to see the artist in every avenue of creativity that you're up to. So
yeah, I'm lucky to get to like to reach my little fingers out in all these kinds of different ways. It's lots of fun.
Congratulations again on the new record. I absolutely love it. And thanks so much for taking the time to talk about it today. This has been really great.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you so much for having me.
And my thanks to Cave Town. The new record is called Worm Food. Big thanks to you as well for checking out the episode. Before you get out of here, again, I hope you hit that subscribe button. You'll get new interviews every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at all the usual podcast spots. That does include WFPK.org and YouTube for the video versions as well. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, an hour full of song premieres and music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org.
Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the old social media spots. That's Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, all three of them. The address is at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Close.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.